Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finish laughing at the picture of your hat.
Bobble
hat. Going.
Bobble hats.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Morning. Morning, people.
Good morning, everyone. It's Running Commentary. It's still January.
It's still January. Oh, yeah. My goodness. It's lasting forever and ever, isn't it?
Yeah, that seems to be a bit of a theme this year, but it's certainly not true.
Not so bad today, though. Weather-wise, yesterday.
No, lucky, because we were supposed to be out yesterday, but there was a storm yesterday, wasn't it? It was snowing in a lot of places. It was just pouring rain in London.
Absolutely incessant cold rain, and I was bang in the middle of it doing... I ran 14 miles in it yesterday.
Really? Well, did you experience the joy of the runner in the rain, or did you just fight it all the way?
No, it was fine. I was just there in it. I mean, I didn't... There's no shelter. It was one of those when you're running and... Some runners were sheltering, and I was just ploughing through it. It was cold, hard.
Where did you run? Where did you
incessant
go?
Rain. Well, I ran the run we're doing now. Actually, we're running back towards Finsbury Park, Clissold Park,
it's
and the reservoir.
It's incredibly exciting, isn't it? Because we've got on the park and walk and gone in
a different
the
way.
Other direction.
Yeah, we normally go to it would. But no, I ran here and I ran the reservoir and then I ran around Clissold Park like six times.
All right, just looping around.
And then run back, yeah.
See, I can't do that. I just have to get further and further away.
No, it was quite nice.
It's good
really
to be back.
Muggy.
Yeah. We haven't done this for a little while, but...
Well, I was ill and then you've been a little bit ill.
That's right, absolutely.
This is your first run back in a week.
Yeah, yeah. What happened was, I was going well, so let's go from beginning of training. I did 30, then 33 and 37, so it's actually exactly 100 miles in 3 weeks.
Right.
From just before New Year.
Yeah.
And just gradually, sensibly feeling really good. And then I ran 4 days straight, but I was being careful because that's not really for me. And on that last day, it was quite a sociable run.
Right.
Get stopping and starting. And it had a little sprint in it. That was my mistake, you see. I was thinking this as I came here this morning.
Yeah.
Pace costs.
Yes.
You know, physically.
Yes, it can
pace
do, yes.
Pace costs one way or another. It's always going to come out somewhere, even if it's just being tired. You know, why am I so tired? Because you ran faster today, you know.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It certainly contributed to my...
And it was a stoppy-starty, wasn't it? Because it was
stopping
very social,
starting all the time. I kept sort of thinking, oh, we'll stop her and chat a minute and then talking for 20 minutes. I mean, Tom Price.
Right.
Our compadre, friend of the show, Tom Price. And loads of other shenanigans. Anyway, the last kind of short run that made up a full-length run of about five, one long morning.
Yeah.
I set off and I felt this kind of twang in my left shin.
Right.
Bottom end towards the foot, like a shin pad.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, that's bad. I need to watch that. I'm overtraining. And then I ran to Crosby Park Run.
Right.
Which is, you know, that's a good 11 miles
right.
with a sprint at the end of it. And then, eager-eared listeners will note that I said, when I went out with Ed last week, I'm running on an injury. And so then I stopped.
Right.
But yeah, in that one, I thought, I'll take a week, or I was kind of thinking it might be less than a week. But it turned out it was completely a week, which is great. But the moment I made that decision, I got a cold.
decision to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just clicked. I could just feel it happening. My body said, oh, really? We haven't we got?
Oh, we can do that.
In that case, I've got a germ we can work through.
Yeah.
And on it came. And I got pretty ill.
Which obviously meant that your body was waiting for that opportunity.
Part of me thinks, I mean, it doesn't matter really, but part of me thinks it's the same cold I had at Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's just been sitting there on the back burner in between. Might even be there next time I take a break.
It sounds like a very kind of grumbly, conversational subject, but most people I know have had a cold all year. My wife's had a cold all year.
Yeah.
Julie's had a cold all year. Yeah. And everyone's a right state.
Yeah, that's
right.
They can't seem to
rest up and get over it.
That's right. And now that's exacerbated by the fear of a terrifying international virus.
Yes, the old... It's quite strangely named coronavirus.
Yeah, I think that it's only for people old enough to remember that soft drink.
Yeah. But you come off Christmas and there's been a bit of parching shenanigans and then you're right into the new year.
Yeah, yeah.
With all the attendant, let's get everything done.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's work hard and you're run down anyway.
That's right. And it's actually, that's really interesting you said it because this is that time, isn't it? And I think right now it feels very yin and yang that the new year's not so much New Year's resolution as New Year's back to work or some combination of the whatever. This is when the ripples from the stone into the pond hit the surface, both in terms of fitness, illness, letting things go that you started up at the beginning of January, finding things, good things coming in because you set them off at the beginning of January.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm talking here about fitness, training, work, social life, you know. It's my wife's birthday yesterday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And that was nice. Cause
good fun. Did you go out last night or was it Sunday?
We went out on Sunday because it's a Monday birthday. We had a kind of birthday eve.
Yeah.
And went out for, we saw Bridget Riley and Serrano de Bergerac.
Nice.
Which is an odd double axe, but it was an excellent day. And then had a nice day yesterday. I mean, ultimately, apart from the fact that my wife is the loveliest woman in the world, it's a pain, and this goes out to anyone out there, it's just a pain in the arse if your birthday is in late January.
Right.
That is not...
Yeah, no one's interest level is low, isn't it?
We've already canvassed what the weather was like yesterday. I mean,
yeah.
In terms of pathetic fallacy, she was set up for, you know, bad times, but we fought against that and had a blooming good one.
Good.
In fact, our favourite Thai restaurant, the one I thought had closed down, it didn't close down.
Right.
Their website's fixed. I didn't get a meal from there on my birthday. We've been waiting 3 months. Right. We had one yesterday!
A result was half. And we're coming off a...
very exciting weekend.
Very nice weekend involving the National Running Show, aren't we?
And right at the heart of that, Paul, your blooming book.
No, it was great.
It begins. People are buying it.
It was amazing, yeah. It was a book signing, my first book signing ever, and it was at the National Running Show this weekend in Birmingham at the NEC.
Yeah.
I managed to be almost late for it, because I hadn't realised how far away the NEC is
from
Birmingham.
Yeah, and
I thought it was like 10-15 minutes away, of course.
No,
it isn't.
It's 10 miles away.
So I ended up late for my own book signing.
Yeah.
Got there just in time.
Did you wear this hat to the book signing?
No,
I think that's for the best.
This is just late January hat, this.
So I don't it is cold, I'll let you have that.
So I don't catch a cold.
Yeah.
But it was great, and there was a healthy queue that kept replenishing. I was signing for about 80, 90 minutes continuously.
And
really nice people.
And lovely crossover as well from dear listeners we know and people, I suppose, listeners who haven't been in touch but knew who you were. And also, I suppose, people at the show.
People at the show, people through the column. But a lot of people, an awful lot of people... through the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was great. It's always so nice to meet people.
Yeah, I met a couple of those.
They feel they know you. But that's quite nice when people feel they know you because then you feel known by them.
Exactly.
So you can just chill out because they already know you.
I say these people feel they know you. There's no fear about it. Yeah. You guys, you do know us.
Yes.
it's a brilliant thing, particularly for us because we kind of, I suppose, assumed starting into this thing that we're used to a dialogue with a wider community and knowing people because of our job, right?
Yeah.
But this the podcast... different. And the running commentary chat online, it's different because we're all on a level. It's us. You get the real us. In fact, because you're listening, you're sometimes better at the real us than us.
Yeah.
It's really funny when people say, oh, it's like you said about so-and-so, so-and-so. It's like, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I suppose I did.
But and it's it made me really aware. I mean, the signing, but just being there. And the evening, which we will talk about.
Yeah, that was great. And I was there for that.
What's a sense of being part of a community?
Yeah.
And I can be a little bit sniffy about some of those mass events.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think I got it. I think I really got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the atmosphere was so upbeat and light
and I think
innocent fun, you know.
And it's very close to what's beautiful about running. Because, and this is simple, but it's worth saying. It's just about running, yeah?
Yeah.
So you can go to Parkrun, that's lovely. You can do the London Marathon, that's lovely.
Yeah.
You can do the Race of the Stones, I'm sure that's lovely. You can go to a Nike 5K of a weekday evening, and that's brilliant. But this is just running.
Yes.
So yeah, it's like an umbrella that covers
all
of that.
Absolutely.
And draws it all together. It's,
it's beautiful.
A bigger group.
There's something for everyone at those events, isn't there? There's,
yeah.
You know, if you want some shiny running gear, you can get it. If you want your gait analyzed, you can get it. If you know, they were selling comfy ball pants.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that everything was there. But really, it's
not
to get
mention dark chocolate and flapjacks.
Dark chocolate flapjacks. I mean, I said at the gig about some woman from Birmingham with all the mates. It was like a hen weekend. They had loads of bags.
Yeah.
Been on this real spree, and she was like, I can't believe it. I've just spent 20 quid on fudge. They were just sort of like, they were just scoffing. A mate was almost sick. She'd had so many turmeric and ginger shots.
Yeah, yeah.
They were just on a bit of a rampage.
And I came along in the late afternoon because I was only there for the evening. Oh, yeah, good idea. Let's go through. This is the Mackenzie Garden. I like the Mackenzie Garden because that's Nana. Nana was Nana Mackenzie.
Right.
Lois Mackenzie. What a great name. So we think of this as Nana's Garden. It's nice even in winter.
It is nice, yeah.
Here he goes into the Mackenzie Garden. So we miss Nana, particularly on my wife's birthday, because that would always mean a really nice old-fashioned floral card.
Right, yes, of course.
Throbbing with cash.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They're great. That was great, that generation. Just give you cash on your birthday.
Oh, honestly, I mean, I think the first time I saw a £20 note was when Grandad Deering press went into my hand. He's like, that's weird. He's shaking my hand weird. What the hell's this?
Well, they used to hand it to you in a sort of clandestine fashion.
Yeah, that's right. In a way, because they're kind of sneaking it past
tell
your parents.
Don't tell your parents.
In an era when that would count as a mortgage payment.
Don't tell my kids that I'm giving you money.
So anyway, sorry. Yeah, so I arrived at the NEC late afternoon for the evening thing. We did the two things were that Paul was doing the signing in the afternoon, and then we were hosting. It's too strong.
Yeah.
But we were hosting as much as anyone.
Yeah.
And then entertaining at the running show dinner, which is kind of the after party for
the sponsors, all the stallholders, doing it, and everyone.
Which is great. But anyway, I arrived, and there's people coming out. And a couple of them say, hey, I see, you know, and sort of like people going for the full Runcom selfie and saying, I saw both of you in two different places.
Right.
But those people were really psyched and, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
At least one person was really, you know, a bit tipsy, which is great. I mean, I genuinely think, as you know, that, you know, that's the right atmosphere.
No,
think how people who don't do running could imagine that the National Running Show might be a really dry.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of scientific.
They don't get the excitement of it all, do they?
Yeah, yeah.
And the joy of it all, and the, you know, absurdity of it all as well. But also, at root, it's just an excuse to be together, isn't it, really?
Yeah, that's right.
To just be together with people
and
who also like
and
running.
The common denominator is running.
Yeah,
just
and you don't have to explain yourself. You just think we're all into this now. You know? No, I really. It is like a church. I really felt that quite strongly. It's just like loads of different people, but united by one thing. It was
running
lovely.
Is our God.
Absolutely lovely, yeah. It was all the characters and loads of people who don't always look that fit signing up to massive long events.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know this sort of this growth in ultra running.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, we can get all the way across.
Oh, we're going to do it all.
We're going all the way across the road.
Bang, bang, bang.
I mean, that was hilarious, wasn't it, in the evening? I mean, in the end, it kind of panned out beautifully, but we were at the dinner and then entertaining afterwards, which is always a mildly tense.
It was
ultimately a really nice trip for the card, because we're both used to corporate gigs.
Yes.
Where you do that, you sit down at the dinner or you don't sit down at the dinner. Yeah. And you're kind of with these people who share this.
Who've kind of bought you for the evening.
Yeah, and often they share something which is really obtuse, like, you know, tax brokerage or...
Yes,
Powered access vehicles.
Kitchen for, you know, your garden furniture or whatever, you know.
All the while you're ticking over thinking, how exactly, what's the right kind of brief, immediately effective comedy I can lay out for these people?
And it's also, those events tend to be... cloaked by a sort of sheen of corporate obligation about the whole thing,
yes,
don't they?
Yes,
but no one really wants
to be there.
To
that's right. Yeah. So well,
but this was different, wasn't it?
It was completely different. That's our model. That's why we had in our heads walking in there and sitting down to dinner. You immediately get that everyone's lovely, but that was there was a distraction from that at first, as we gradually realised we were surrounded by legends.
Yes,
lovely. Diffident people. Yeah. And then it's like, basically, the lady on my left has run 63 marathons in 63 days.
Yeah.
And she's about to attempt to get the world record for running across Australia.
Yeah, she was amazing, wasn't she?
Nikki.
So gentle.
Just past her, Brendan. He's run the width of Africa and is about to run the length of it.
Yeah.
That guy over there.
Yeah, purely for charity, yes.
Lazarus Lake.
Yeah, Lazarus Lake, yeah, the head of the Barclay Marathon.
Yep.
Notoriously
really.
Tough.
Yeah.
Ultra, the toughest race in the world.
I didn't actually meet him. I was
a real
bit too,
character, real maverick,
I was
real
kind
nice
of daunted. And then Bob Pope comes over and says hello. Retraced Forrest Gump steps in America. And on and on, you know. Yeah, and all these people, I mean, it was for everyone. And I think it was just a kind of the way the pudding got mixed. But just a rut among... these ultra runners, and it just made us feel like...
And they're all very gentle, aren't they, the ultra runners? Because they're running so slow. I mean, that's what I was going to say about just the types who don't look that athletic. They're signing up to ultras, obviously, because they like running.
Yeah.
And they want to find an event that accommodates that for as much, so they can do as much
that's
running
right.
as possible.
Well, you talked... there's not many, talking of how those corporate gigs feel, there's not many gigs where you can go on stage and talk about the quest for egolessness.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah.
That was the one.
The zenned out ultra runners, yeah.
And everyone was so joyous. But the other really key thing is that all these ultra runners we aspire to be like were drinking, weren't they?
Yes, it was weird.
They were drinking quite a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people weren't drinking at the corporate, but all the really good ultra runners seemed to be drinking.
Yes, they
wasn't
did.
That,
there
that
is.
That
a, there's definitely, it's like going back to going around Regent's Park with Susie Chan the first time, who was also there. You know, just realising that getting into ultras is finding a new glee in food and drink.
Yeah.
It was lucky what you said late that night. You said, just because those ultra runners can drink and run with no ill effects doesn't mean that we can. But it really shook my faith in the old abstemiousness.
It's your body, isn't it? I got the impression that they weren't getting smashed.
Yeah.
They weren't getting slaughtered.
Which isn't really a skill we have.
They had restraint. I must say I chatted to... Camille Heron, I think that's the correct pronunciation.
Incredible
multi-world record holder, various ultra distances, preparing for an attempt at the 48-hour world record. I don't think I've ever met a more chilled out human being in my life.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I thought she was going to collapse in front of me. It was like talking to kind of zenned out goo.
Part of her is...
She was amazing. She was incredible.
I think just part of her spirit, her soul, is out on that run.
Yeah,
at all times.
Yeah, she's just... A very...
We're overtaking a school group on the bridge into the wetlands. It's brilliant, although...
Yeah.
Oh,
we got quite
jam.
The queue now. We might just join the kids.
Can we come through on the right, guys?
Oops.
Excuse me.
Oops, sorry.
Excuse me. Thank you very much. Cheers. I had to announce how that was going to work there, and then it was okay.
Yeah, just get lost with the kids for a few weeks. No, she was absolutely... incredible and very inspiring, actually.
Oh,
I found
absolutely.
It all very inspiring chatting to people who love running that much without being at all alpha status about it at all boastful.
None of that.
Absolutely none of it.
There was one guy
amazing.
I met a top international ultra runner called Josh, and he was like, and he was I was interested because he didn't get into distance running until he was in his mid 40s.
Right.
And this now, you know, he's at the absolute top of the game. And,
But
he just had a balance, because he was a very strong, masculine man, like a mountain man.
Right.
Oh, by the way, your wooden trail's open again. Do you want to go down?
Yeah, let's do it. I did this yesterday, yeah.
This has been close for months. Oh, here's me thinking I was springing this all on you, but you've been down here.
Yeah.
The sun's shining now.
Yeah, it's beautiful, yeah. Much nicer.
But yeah, just like you say, just gentle, you know? It's kind of monks.
Yeah, no, they are. They really are. And they... That woman, Nikki, who was talking about running across Australia and all that time on her own, being off-grid and really going for it, she couldn't wait to get out there on her own, could she? She couldn't wait to be away from everything.
And again, coming right back to what you said about the, you know, the running being everyone together, but I mean all different people, you know, we felt quite... shamed by their incredible achievements, but then there's people that they were just a lovely audience and bang up for it, but also they're looking at us going, oh, I see, so they're podcast guys, oh, I see, so they do stand up, oh, so there's, you know, so we're all kind
of they record it while they're running, it was nice,
and it was great, it was
really nice,
it was really nice.
So I was quite heartened by Camille Heron's story about her last world record attempt, world record achievement. Yeah. Where she suffered quite rather chronic stomach problems throughout, of an explosive nature that upset everyone around them and disturbed them because they were worried for her. And she was like, I just didn't care at all. It's just something that's happening and I'm just total non-attachment to normal stuff. Really
just
zen.
Something that's happening.
Yeah. No, it was great.
Beautiful.
And in beautiful fact, image, yeah.
The only... The only time that mill pond of calm was disturbed was when her and her mates thought that you were blaming that achievement on a vapor flies.
Yes. Yeah, that was I was chatting about vapor flies and ended up...
And they were like, and she did it. And you were like, no, I mean, no.
Well, no, her husband...
Said, but what were they like? And she said, they're comfortable.
Her husband said, my wife ran a world record in vapor flies. So I hopped off stage for a chat, realised it was Camille, had a little chat... And I think there was a moment's confusion when everyone thought I was suggesting it was the shoes that did it. I know it's not the shoes that did it.
I
didn't really. There was a bit of projection going on. But I'm quite keen to buy a pair of those shoes because I'm worried they're going to get banned.
Get them quick.
The serious suggestions are going to get banned.
It's like the 30s.
Yeah. Prohibition.
So nice
knocking
up here.
Knocking out vapor flies.
It's a bit cold and windy, but we're here. So, yeah, hopefully next year, that spirit of the post-show networking dinner that we did, we'll certainly want to go back.
Yeah,
recommend it to anyone, and maybe we can get on the main stage and do the kind of Live Aid version.
Well, let's see. I mean, it was a lot of fun. And also, for me, on a bit of a personal kind of fanboy level, I ended up having 20 minutes chat with a slightly drunk... And very friendly Steve Cram.
See, also drinking.
Yeah. Old Steve-O Cram.
Yeah.
So that was great for me, obviously, being from the north and chatting to him, which is a very interesting guy. And he was chatting about, you know, club running in the 80s and how we've talked about it before, how people ran loads more miles and were generally fitter and faster with less kit and gear.
Yeah.
And food aids, etc. But he was just saying how much better it is now because so many more people are running.
Yeah.
If you look at, I mean, like that running show, I think they had 60% more people came this year than last year. They're expanding it around the world.
Yeah.
I mean, the end game is just everyone running just forever.
And also a really clear thing, I don't know, I think you said it, I don't know if you were saying someone else said it, if it was based in any kind of statistic. But whatever it was, I thought, oh God, of course that's true, is that more and more people are running for wellness, you know, for their mental state. Because, I mean, even saying running for their mental health sounds like slightly reductive.
Yeah.
But running just, for their mental health, for their souls.
Better. Yes.
And then, of course, it's also good for your body, but that is the...
Yes.
The lucky extra.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a really great way to... Because when it comes down to
that was fascinating,
that's
wasn't
not
it?
Just the way to be a healthy human, that's also the way to be a good runner.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you just... It's that thing of people running... I think they did some poll or something, like 90-95% of people run to feel better mentally.
Yeah.
But obviously, while doing it, you get better physically, and the two are extremely related.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do it if you made you feel worse, but they don't do it primarily to lose weight or get buff or whatever it is, you know.
I find that primarily, you know, because like you say, you can come at it from either direction. You might start running to help your mind. You might start running and then find from the running that it's helping yourself.
Yeah.
But I think that the fundamental thing for me was externalizing.
Right.
Took me out of myself.
Yeah.
Took me out of the tunnel.
That's interesting.
Of my own existence. I wasn't even, and I wouldn't say that's not a sad tunnel.
No.
I'm not talking about taking me out of my depression. It just meant that I just engaged with the world more.
Just gave you a different perspective.
And who knew? I certainly didn't know that would be a product of running.
Right.
I was thinking more just not being so tubby.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, though, at the other end of it, the nice thing about it is, say, bringing all the runners together in the world is Zen though it is, there are no crazy secrets. There's no magic.
No.
This is something I wanted to say when we ran with Gavin the other day. Thank you again, Gavin. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, he was great, yeah.
And, you know, he's an incredible runner. Clearly a natural.
Yes.
And also, he reminded me of you in the sense that he is clearly a very competitive and achievy runner.
Right.
Without any... There's no front to it.
Yeah.
He's not leery or angry or...
Yeah, you know what I mean?
There's no conflict there between being a relaxed, steady person and yet...
Being intensely
battling
competitive.
For the best run you can possibly get.
Yeah.
But the key thing, listening to all his marathon training plans and how he addresses it all, is that it was all pretty familiar. You know, it's all common sense.
Yeah.
It wasn't wildly different. It reminded me in turn of a Darren and Finn running with the Kenyans and just saying that, you know, there's no secret about what they're doing. It's amazing what they're doing.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's no trick.
Just a lot of running involved.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Running and resting and eating okay. And then doing this and then repeating.
So it's the actual physical proof from taking it to the kind of people you read about the paper and think, wow, and realizing that ultimately they are the same as... If you're someone who's gone out this January, gone for a run once and thought, oh, that feels great, gone out for another one and thought, oh, didn't enjoy that second one as much, then yeah, that's you too.
Yeah.
You're a runner too.
Yeah.
It's all the same game.
Absolutely. There's no difference between the woman from Birmingham who can't believe she spent £20 on fudge and Camille Heron.
There's no difference.
There really isn't.
No, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great.
And lovely to see it.
It's beautiful here. I've got that's the view through the church across the reservoir, which is... I'm hoping I'm getting it with both of us while running along, but that's ambitious, isn't it? So, but we were slightly ashamed, not just of our running when at that table, but also of the fact that neither of us had run for a week because we were ill. And also our inability to hold booze in the same grown-up way.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you, last time we spoke, you hadn't had a drink since...
I succumbed.
Well, we both stopped around the 5th, 6th.
Yeah, I succumbed on Sunday.
Did you?
As a tribute to Camille and the other ultras.
You did shake her.
I did, yeah. It was a toast.
It was their
to
fault.
Ultra running around the world.
Yeah.
I was also really tired. I'd had a really tough week.
Yeah.
And I planned to go on a long Sunday run, as you know, we were chatting on the way back from that gig.
Yeah.
But I've done 4 gigs in Liverpool on Friday. Bed at 2:30. Up early for radio, but it's book signing gig, bed for 2:30. You're just too tired, aren't
you? Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? I'm 50 years old.
Yeah.
I'm knackered. And I can't run 40 miles, so I had to do it yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was fine. I enjoyed it.
Lucky that the weather came in on it.
Oh, yeah, the weather was... That was a little bit channeling the chilled out spirit of the ultra guys. I just that refusal.
Oh God.
That refusal to... You okay?
Yes.
That refusal to attach with the horrendous conditions.
Yeah.
Just like it was really bad, but what else are you going to do?
It is what it is.
You're just running through it. People have run in the rain before.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
When it's raining, it's good training.
Yeah, it's just running in
the
rain.
You never know if it's going to be raining in that event. You know, you've seen some of these...
Those awful ultras where it's pouring down all...
Yeah, or that Boston Marathon in the hurricane.
Yes, yeah.
So, go on, how much did you drink? Did you go for it? Did you fall off the wagon hard?
I probably did a bottle.
Yeah. Oh, that's... You
it wasn't two bottles, but I did a bottle. It was enough. And I felt it a bit the next day. Not massively, but I felt a little bit stupid. It didn't make me want to do it much more, but who knows, obviously. No rules.
Between the drinking at the show and my wife's birthday, I did... thanks. I did think that I was going to drag her down off the wagon with me yesterday.
I wondered whether you'd fall.
No, we didn't.
Because you started the day with a picture of a martini, didn't you?
Yeah. I actually went home on Sunday.
Yeah.
Chinese New Year, Year of the Rat.
Right.
That's my year.
Right.
Hey, I thought that's good. That's lucky. No, apparently it's unlucky.
All right. Okay.
And you're supposed to give people born in the birth year of the year that it is... You give them a red present to ward off bad luck.
Right, okay.
So, obviously, I thought that would mean that after we'd met the ultra runners, you'd have poured me a glass of red wine. But no, that didn't happen.
Right.
And then we were going to go to this aforementioned Thai restaurant where they do great cocktails. And she said, it's raining a lot, let's stay home and get takeaway.
Nice.
But I was heading for cocktails. Her friend gave her a bottle of champagne for Christmas.
Yeah.
Put it in the fridge. I said, do you want champagne? She said, we're not drinking. You said we weren't drinking. And I took it out of the fridge again.
That's great.
So basically, thank goodness for her.
You've done well.
Still on the horse.
You've done well. We had a...
Dry horse.
It can be so hard to beat these things, but so important if you get through it. We had someone around for dinner the other week. And it was a few mates. And we managed not to drink that day, which is incredible. But other people got really quite drunk.
Yeah.
And this girl... Well, let's call her a woman. She's mid-50s.
Yeah.
She was trying not to smoke. And she'd smoked all, for the last 25 years or whatever.
Yeah.
She promised herself to stop smoking, and yet she really wanted a fag. And she hadn't drunk all year, and then she had a drink, and she really wanted a fag. And she was crying with the trauma of it all.
Yeah, that is
just
tough.
Just pitched between two triggers, you know.
Yeah.
The drink triggering her to smoke, but the anxiety and the knowing that it's so important not to, but the desire to do so.
Yeah.
This is big stuff.
Did she manage it?
Yeah, she managed to get through
it. Impressive.
She managed to get through it, but it was touch and go and quite hard work, because you don't want to be too hard on her. You don't want to be the one saying, you can't smoke. But at the same time, you say you'll feel so much better if you don't tomorrow.
I know that
doesn't bear anything to how you feel right now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
it was so intense.
That is the one great thing with the whole habit with smoking is... It doesn't last.
You
can weather that storm of wanting one.
Yeah.
You won't. A few minutes later, or if you're having a drunken night, maybe the next morning, you won't want it anymore, and you'll be so pleased with yourself.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I do think maybe it's interesting that you said girl, no woman, and it got me thinking about he, she, they pronouns.
Right.
I don't know about pronouns, and I'm pronouns.
Yeah.
Fence, car, man.
Yeah.
Those words work brilliantly.
We love nouns.
I do think that maybe the younger generation are somehow, in a way that's quite hard to get a handle on if you're not them, are slightly better at this.
Right.
I think maybe because the online world, the culture world, is so binary, you either think this or don't think this.
Right.
That they have a kind of automatic detachment from that. That means, that when my daughter was... on the road to being a vegetarian, a vegan, and she was a flexitarian.
Yeah.
It was no problem to her to hold that course.
Right.
Whilst, she said, well, today, because of this situation, I'm going to have a sausage. And she didn't the next day then go, oh, I can't believe I had a sausage.
Yeah.
And now she wouldn't.
Right.
But there was just no guilt. There was no
that's good,
battle.
Isn't it?
And
that's
I don't
good,
think that's
just
that. I think that it's culturally... I think that they're better at that kind of even-handedness. It's almost a kind of double-think, but a positive double-think.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, you mean giving themselves a break if they fall sort of thing?
Yeah, but they don't even...
See
even
it as
that,
a fall.
The fall isn't there, so there's no need to give themselves a break.
Yeah.
It's just another thing.
Yeah.
It's as zen as the
ultra runners, you know what I mean? It's just happening.
It's just what's happening, yeah. I mean, I suppose that was... It's that non-attachment thing, isn't it? It's that kind of...
I've just realised we're running towards... So we still... Do you want to turn back?
No, let's do a lap and then... And then I'll run back and you...
All right, good.
No, but I thought that with Camille, it's like she's 2 weeks away from an attempt at this world record.
Yeah.
But she wants a little bit of wine.
Yeah.
So she'll have a couple of glasses of wine and not worry so much about
it. It's not complicated.
It's the worry, isn't it? It's the anxiety around it that gets
Gavin's
so exhausting.
Saying, oh, I don't really have a training plan. And he does... He got a training plan in that he
knows,
gets enough distance run and knows what needs to happen to his body.
He knows basically
but
what
that
he's going to do.
That is how a training plan should be.
Yeah.
Because it has to exist with your life. And you don't want to be... Or like Ed said last week, actually. He was saying, you've really got to watch that. If you go to do something, you think, I'm going to do this three times this week.
Right.
And you do it twice, and the third day, for whatever reason, you don't.
Yeah.
Then, so easy to turn around and go, oh, I'm so angry with myself. It's like, don't do that.
Don't worry about it, yeah.
Don't do that bit.
You did it twice. Yeah.
And it's your rules.
Yeah.
You know, you can change them.
How was he? Of course, I missed it because I was ill. He's in good spirits.
Yeah, it's a shame. But no, it was really good. He's on good form. He's basically got the fundamental is he's not doing the marathon this year because he's going to do some podcast recording in America.
Right.
And then get married.
Oh, good luck to him. Fantastic. So, you know, awesome.
But he was... Yeah, nice clear head. It was it was lucky for us that we were seeing him then, but unlucky that you weren't there to be a part of it.
Yeah, it is a shame, yeah. This is awful. Should we run down there? Because that's really... I did this yesterday.
That's in the flooding. In the park.
Flooding!
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I should have got a picture. It's quite dramatic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, so that elastic sense of fitting it in with the life you've got. Again, not even fitting it in, you know.
I mean,
it reminds me of when I used to tour Sweden and just suddenly realising that in Sweden there's no difference in energy between work and play.
Yes.
So like, these lovely people, they both worked at... he was a dentist and she ran the surgery.
Yeah.
And then, so I do that. And then they'd have like a dinner party, see a show, go and do some bird watching.
Yeah.
And just approach all those things with the same attitude. And I just suddenly realised that this thing of going, I'm working, I'm really working hard, it's really difficult. I'm stopping, I'm drinking, I'm going to the pub. It's so British.
It's just
think that there's any conflict.
There's a separation
there.
Between
it's not a conflict.
Yeah.
They're all just things that you're doing.
I must say,
and there's joy in all of them.
I must say, my old McIntyre's very like that. He sees no separation between work and play. So he'll be on a plane and suddenly he'll start doing a bit of writing. And then next minute he's watching a film and then he has a drink and then a bit more and then he's making some phone calls. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just a bit more fluid, you know.
I'm reading Claire Tomlin's Samuel Pepys. He's a bit like that. He worked really hard once he found the job he loved.
Yes.
Just working. And the same...
Of course, this is... you know, it's easy to have that if you don't have a 9-to-5.
That's right.
If you've got a 9-to-5, you can't be in the middle of the morning. So, I'm just messing about. I see no separation.
But I do think that I'm off for a swim. Yeah, there is a luxury to it. But equally, I'm sure that's good that you said that, because people will be listening. But it's true.
It is a mentality as well.
Yeah, and I think if you're in Sweden and you work a 9-to-5, you still don't do that.
Yeah, I'll get
it. I'm sick of work.
I'll go
to the pub.
Totally. And life gets more relaxing to the extent that you can embrace that, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Talking of the mighty Michael McIntyre, you're going to America with him now?
Yeah, we go to New York tomorrow.
You get a chance to recce the marathon route.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Quick 26 miler.
I'll do that. I'll do a quick 26. No, he's doing a few. I'm not gigging. I'm just making notes in there for general kind of coach feel good comedy vibes.
Yeah, good.
He's got a couple of club gigs, and then he's doing Radio City Hall on Saturday night to 6,000 people.
Brilliant.
So that'll be a big old event. Old Paul Rudd's coming out with us.
How nice!
Which that's going to be a test of my ability not to say something too fawning. I mean, I failed a bit with old Crammy. We were chatting quite normally.
Yeah.
And this is something I've learnt over time, but I constantly forget. They don't want to be reminded of their best moments. Do you know what I mean? I said, listen, we're all talking, but I can't get over the image of you winning 1986 European Championships.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's all behind me now. Everything. They don't want that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? All you're saying is, thank you for inspiring me, making me feel so good.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, but it kind of, it takes them out of it, doesn't it? And it also makes you a fan as opposed to a person they're chatting to.
Yeah, that's true. But better that than do the thing which we come up against a lot, which is people who can't quite work out how to say something nice, so they say something horrible.
Yeah. That's
really easily done. I mean,
yeah, you've let yourself go, Steve.
I don't know what people say after comedy gigs, but
you're not as funny off stage as on. Yeah,
you're probably loving this.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. But equally, when you look at it from that point of view, you realise how difficult it is, how easy you could fall into that.
Yes. But with Paul,
interestingly. With Paul Rudd, go on, I'll tell you in a minute the other
day. I'm just saying I'm a huge fan.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a tendency to lose myself in chatting about all the great movies he's made.
Yeah.
And I've just got to be cool.
Yeah. I saw it, funny enough, talking of Rudd.
Yeah.
I know Aisling Bea a bit, and she did that show with him, and that's I feel like I know him now.
Yeah.
I slightly know someone who knows you.
Yeah.
Say that to him.
Yeah.
Say my podcast.
Yeah. I gigged with her once in a corporate.
Yeah. But funny enough, I was I watched when I was ill, I watched Avengers Endgame.
Right.
And it was fascinating because I understand that the stranglehold of the major films on Hollywood is a negative. You know, that if films need to be sequels and superheroes, and then My Cousin Vinny doesn't get made, you know.
Right.
But anyone who just thinks that the Marvel films are just explosions for kids hasn't seen them.
Yes.
They have got that.
Yeah.
But they have also got, you know, great acting, great storytelling, lovely stuff. I mean, Endgame's lovely the way it leans into its own high concepts.
Right.
And Paul Rudd, right? Plot spoiler if you haven't seen it, watch out for this next minute. Because his first scene, pretty much, he comes back to a decimated world after years away, doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
And, you know, lots of stuff happening just to him, just in silence. And then sees his daughter, who's 5 years older. The acting on him in that scene, the look he does, of his confusion and happiness and sadness, and it's all face acting, you know.
Yes.
There's no, he doesn't say anything.
He's very expressive,
it's,
isn't he?
It's just brilliant.
Yeah,
acting brilliant. Doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, he's great.
It's just, it's 10 seconds of one man's face in a superhero movie. But there's nothing in Daniel Day-Lewis's Mile of Foot that's any better.
Yeah.
It was just
brilliant. The guy's great.
I kind of had to pause it and sit with it for a minute, honestly.
Yeah. No, he's good value.
So the other thing about us saying, talking to your heroes, funny enough, when I was in Liverpool last weekend, I watched the Rush documentary that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
After, because Neil Peart, the drummer, died the other
yes,
day.
Yes, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Which really hit me. It really hurt me. I was really... It's one of those ways of... You project your own sadnesses onto these things sometimes, don't you?
Yeah.
And he was the quiet one in Rush. Very much the bookish one. And they always had this sense they knew that he was the new boy.
Right.
Because he joined the band later, despite the fact that that was still... 40, 50 years ago. You know.
Should we go around and
yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
sorry, yeah. And he was the shy one. It was just interesting to him talking about it, because on the film, I don't know how they got the access they got, but it was lovely to see this quite hidden, shy guy be so warm and friendly on camera. Whoever was making the documentary had certainly won his confidence, you know?
Yeah.
And then sad again, because this is the guy who just died. But anyway... He was just saying, I don't mean to be standoffish, and I know that I've got a reputation for being a sourpuss and a misery guts, but it isn't that. It's that if you come and adulate on me, I can't handle it.
Yes.
I find it, it doesn't make me angry.
Yes.
And I don't think I'm better than you.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah,
I am embarrassed.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah,
I
yeah.
I can't
yeah.
do it. And he was saying, I get it. I know that other people can, and it's my problem. But it's not an angry.
Yes.
It's not, I'm embarrassed.
Yes, yeah, 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 yeah. That's fair enough, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
That's fair. But it's that thing of like. It's a little bit pithy, but that idea of. Judging people by their best moments, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And that's being an idea of that's what they were sent to do. Like old Stevie, bless him, was saying, all the best, some of the best moments in my life are behind me. Not all, but there was a slight sense of longing for past glories, which is completely understandable.
Well, yeah, it's completely understandable, particularly if you're a certain age. I mean, you know, athletes have to face up to this stuff more than anyone.
Yes.
But it's also true of artists and ultimately humans.
You have
to get old enough to think it. You just suddenly realise
you have your peak years, isn't it?
You may have peaked.
Yeah, but
and in different contexts, you know.
Yeah. But let's be grateful for the fact that you peaked at all.
Yeah, yeah.
In such grand, epic terms.
Yeah,
do you know
absolutely.
What I mean? It's like you shook the world, you know.
Yeah, and also,
a young lad from the northeast, you
and
know.
Not to try and zen it too much, but it is. It's only time.
Yeah.
That achievement still stands.
It's still with you
that
now.
That truth yeah, is still there.
You carry it around with you, you know.
Yeah, I saw the aforementioned Rush do their quintessential album live about 10 years ago. And I was worried. It was a funny old thing because I wasn't going to go.
Right.
And I had a ticket and then various people I was going with didn't go, so I'm there on my own.
Yeah.
And I'd seen it before. I wanted to go, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was kind of there by accident. I was there cold. And they played their old album, and I thought, I was thinking to myself, is this sad? You know, is this pointless? Directing it to myself, thinking, what's it like when you tell your old jokes?
Yeah.
You know, and I suddenly realised, I thought, wait a minute, this is their best work, that's true.
Yeah.
But they're also playing it live.
Yeah.
And most importantly, playing it live brilliantly, you know?
Yes.
In a way that you can't fake, with a brilliant... stage set and screen with a totally engaged audience who are blooming loving it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So what possible negative could there be? The fact that they wrote it
and it's
in 1981 means nothing.
This is
happening now.
It's also that thing of like you carry all your moments with you at all time, don't you?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
For, you know, Steve Cram will always be coming around the final corner to win the 83 World Championship.
That's right.
Muhammad Ali was always be beating Joe Frazier.
That's right.
But people carry these memories about you, but you carry them as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't.
Oh, if it's that big, exactly. We're carrying Steve-O with us.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And all the moments yet to come.
Yeah, and of course, and it's. Yeah, but it's obviously you got to feel that, haven't you? You have to feel that.
You're going to spend time in it.
Yeah.
Well, my son. He's getting into composing, you know. You know,
right.
He's quite the musician.
Brilliant.
And he's doing composing at school and he loves it.
Yeah.
Played this what he was making up the other day. It's really good. It's kind of quite ornate and orchestral. And it reminded me of Philip Glass's music for Kyanis-Gatsi. Do you know this?
I don't know it, no.
Oh, it's great. And you probably know it if you heard it. It's more famous than it sounds.
Right.
And there's a scene in Watchmen where... The guy in it who lives outside time is he's looking at his story outside time, so it's told in that way.
Right.
You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And the things he's doing are all at the different points in the timeline.
Nice, nice.
While this music plays, while he's looking at it kind of from the present and the past, it's just... Mm. But that's even though that's a really exciting bit of sci-fi with great music, it's ultimately defining something you just said. These things are all...
It's a bit like, I mean, religious people see God as existing outside time, don't they? It's a bit of a spiritual place, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can tell we chatted to some ultra runners at the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, and if you can bend your mind this much, you don't need to drink.
Through just listening to them.
Honestly, that...
You don't need the event.
Well, here's another one, Bridget Riley. I mean, Bridget Riley's just fantastic. You know her work, right?
I don't know whether
it's,
I do know.
It's all, if put very simply, there's a lot of stripes and spots.
Okay.
But put much more complicatedly, she's working at the edge where the eye and mind can't quite make sense of the picture.
Right, okay.
So she'll paint some stripes, and then you're looking at them, and they'll move around.
Right, okay.
And you can't stop them moving around.
Okay.
You know, so, and it's like super advanced magic eye pictures.
Right.
And it was really funny. It's a great exhibition. It was the last day. I'm so glad we caught it. And, I mean, just excellent. Amazing what she did. Because there's a room where we chose her working.
Right. Oh,
and
brilliant.
I was reminded
fantastic.
Of Richard Feynman, you know, who's saying, you know, understanding how the flower works just means he can understand the beauty of looking at the flower and the beauty of the science of the flower.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, great exhibition. And by the end of it, I was spending longer and longer in front of the paintings.
Yes, that's
letting
great.
My eyes get out of focus. Letting my brain go out of focus.
It took me
about an hour to recover.
That's perfect. Well, that's what it's there for, isn't it? Change the way you look at the world.
That's the one
perfect,
thing you want at the end of the exhibition is a darkened room with 100 strangers lying down.
Mate, that's,
trying to
that's,
sort it out.
That sounds great, mate.
It's good to be back out here, isn't it?
It's good to be out running, yeah. It's good. It's good. Well, I'm coming off my 14 yesterday. I'll have done 7 today. So yeah, I'm back into just keep getting the momentum, isn't it? Not getting ill.
Yep.
That's why I'm wearing the hat. I'm having so much vitamin C. I'm just drowning myself in vitamin
C. That's right.
Trying to keep so.
But the great
we're
thing
in
about
the hard yards
is it also it looks,
looks
great.
Really cool.
Well,
looks
it's that thing cool. of not falling off. You know, I really took that moment to pull it down over your eyes. Now it looks silly. Well, no, that was really great. But I did feel, I mean, maybe we should take that lesson from the kids, because sometimes you've got to be ill. Sometimes you've got to take time.
Yeah.
And it's not about falling off and getting back on. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Now the future is now.
Absolutely.
So is the past.
That's great. Love it. Feeling it. Look, the birds flying off. Awesome.
Yeah, but are they flying?
Awesome.
Or are they still
awesome.
On the ground?
Awesome. I think they're flying.
Yeah, they're definitely flying.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.